This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a volunteer-based community access station. For more information, go to www.radiokidnappers.org.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this program available through funding the Access Internet Radio Project.
There's antimony, arsenic, aluminum, selenium, and hydrogen, and oxygen, and nitrogen, and rhenium, and nickel, neodymium, neptunium, germanium, and iron, americium, ruthenium, uranium, europium, zirconium, lutetium, vanadium, and lanthanum, and osmium, and astatine, and radium, and gold, and protactinium, and indium, and gallium, and iodine, and thorium.
You're listening to Radio Kidnappers, the voice of Hawke's Bay, and I'm Lynn Trafford, presenting on behalf of the Hawke's Bay branch of the Royal Society of New Zealand, Hawke's Bay Scientists on Air. This program is your opportunity to get to know practicing and recently retired scientists from around the Bay. With me in the studio, I have Diane Marshall, Head of School, Viticulture and Wine Science and Centre for Veterinary Nursing at the Eastern Institute of Technology based in Napier. Today we will learn how a secondary school science teacher became head of school at EIT and what head of school really means. We welcome Diane Marshall to Radio Kidnappers and Hawke's Bay Scientists on Air. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Lynn.
Thank you for joining us. Are you by any chance a Hawke's Bay girl, or where did you come from?
I was born in Gisborne and spent...
almost. Isn't it?
Yes. Almost. Gisborne. Very close. Yes. Gisborne. Yes. And I lived in Gisborne until I left school to go to university.
So you went to primary school, intermediate school, secondary school, all your schooling there?
Yes, I did.
Neat. Was there a time in your secondary schooling, Diane, when you decided that science is the career I want to pursue? Was there a defining time?
Firstly, I loved biology, and I think I loved biology so much at secondary school, partly because our lives were very much centred on the outdoors. I belonged at secondary school. I belonged to the Gisborne Canoe and Tramping Club, and really enjoyed getting out tramping in our beautiful forests, particularly around the Te Uruwera area, White Lake Waikari Moana, and We fished, we went and explored rock pools when we were younger, so I think my love for biology grew from there. I think I went on in science also because we were really told at secondary school that this is what we should do. I remember the head of science of my secondary school, Lytton High School, came to our full form class, that's year 10 now, and stood there and said, well, you'll all be doing science, of course, in Form 5, Year 11, and really there's no question of that. That's where all the jobs are going to be, and you're wasting your time doing any arts subjects.
How funny. Yes. Wouldn't happen today, would it, Diane?
No, absolutely not. Not PC at all.
No, not at all.
So the majority of our class, which was we were streamed in those days, so yep. This top group went on and did sciences. Brilliant. In Form 6 and Form 7.
Mm. Good, excellent. Now, you chose to go to Massey, BSc. What Yes. were you studying other than science? How did you break it down? What did you do?
Well, I wanted to continue my love of biology. So after my first year of some of the sort of general sciences like chemistry and also maths, my second and third year of my degree really was made up of predominantly biology type subjects like microbiology, genetics, and of course my zoology, which I took through and graduated with a degree in zoology.
Neat. Really good stuff. What happened to you at the end of Massey? What did you decide to do then?
After my second year, I really had no idea what I wanted to do. As a very young child, I had loved the idea of being a school teacher and used to play make-believe school teachers, as children and particularly young girls do. At secondary school, I thought, there is no way I want to be a secondary school teacher. Forget that.
Because of the children.
Yes.
How funny. Yep.
Went to university really having no idea, just followed my passion. And then we had a landlord for the flat that I was in Palmerston North, who was also the Massey liaison advisor. So he was very interested in, you know, careers that we were going to follow, and he suggested secondary teaching. And at the time, there was a bit of an incentive as well, because there was a thing called a studentship, which actually paid you quite a good amount of money while you were studying at university. So my final year, I applied for a studentship and then went into secondary teaching, went off to Christchurch Secondary Teachers College,
you
as it was called then.
Christchurch.
I went to Christchurch. I could have gone to Auckland, but I went to Christchurch because I'd never lived in the South Island, and I think I'd only visited once, and I thought this was a good opportunity to have a look around the South Island.
And that's how it works sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, yes.
It's a good thing. It's the furthest away from home, so that's yes. where we go to study. Very good. Now, after your teaching diploma, obviously you are into secondary school teaching. Where did you practice your craft? Where did you go to teach?
My first job was at Mount Maunganui College.
That's a nice place to go to.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I was there for 4 years.
Yeah, and then where did we go to?
Well, I met my now husband in the staff room. He was a teacher as well. And so we went off overseas for 2.5 years. So we had the OE, the big OE.
Good. It's good to do that, isn't it?
Yeah. We always planned to return to New Zealand. And so we needed to find a town where there were jobs for both him and I. And at that time, there were not many positions available in New Zealand for secondary teachers. And so we didn't have a lot of choice. I think we applied for 3 jobs. We were offered all 3, but the one that we liked the sound of the most was Taradale High School here in Hawke's Bay.
Of course you would like that one. Especially growing up in Gisborne, that would be a bit of a sexy sell, I would think. So down to the bay you come, both of you. How long were you teaching for? It was quite a while, wasn't it, really?
Yes, I was at Taradale High School about 19 years.
Yeah.
So it was quite a long time.
It's a goodly chunk, isn't it, Diane? Mm. And then at some stage you decided to give that away for now and become a secondary school science advisor. Now, I know what one of these creatures is, but can you just briefly tell our listeners what a science advisor is and who you're advising, I guess?
Right. I was advising my colleagues, a secondary science teacher, in the central region. We were employed through the Massey College of Education and covered from Hawke's Bay down to the Manawatū and across to Taranaki. So it was quite a big area.
It is a big area.
Yeah. At the time, we had a new science curriculum, so the job was really to talk to teachers about the science curriculum. It was quite different to the previous curriculum, and to run courses and to give teachers exciting ideas for learning activities in the classroom.
So and we're talking here 93, 94, aren't
yes,
we?
Yes,
that
yes.
That period of time. Did you enjoy that role?
I loved it.
Yeah, quite different, isn't it, from being in the classroom,
yes,
so to speak?
Very different. I absolutely loved it. I could have stayed, but the position of assistant principal at Taradale High School came up, and I decided to return. I decided to apply for that position, which I was successful in doing, and returned to Taradale High School. I absolutely loved teaching at Taradale High School. I loved my colleagues. It was very nice to be able to return to teach with them and to move up the career ladder a little.
Yes, probably fortuitous that you left. Because it might not have happened otherwise, might it? I mean, it's a funny old world how things like that happen. Mm. But the going away and coming back and seeing so many other schools in that time you were away would have given you a very good foundation for assistant principal. Well done. Excellent thing to do. At some stage, the light switched on and you left teaching. What happened? Was there yet again another defining moment, Diane?
No, I think I just gradually came to the thought that I'd been in teaching all my working life. It would be nice to do something a little different. I decided that I didn't want to go on to the next logical step, which was principal of a secondary school. And at the same time, I have a brother who's a viticulturist, and I had a growing interest in wine that sort of evolved at the same time as the wine industry in Hawke's Bay was evolving, and the quality of wine that we were producing here was improving.
So what period of time are we looking at? Early 2000s? Is it around
early 2000, yes. Yeah. Around 2001, I made the decision that I would like to perhaps be employed in the wine industry.
Was your brother in New Zealand at this stage?
Yes, he was.
All right. So employed in the wine industry, what sorts of things were you doing then to give you a good foundation in the wine industry?
Well, I had my science background, so it was obviously, and to be a winemaker or viticulturist, it is all pretty science-based.
Yes,
and,
it is, isn't it?
Mm. So on realising that EIT had a Bachelor of Viticulture and a Bachelor of Wine Science, and I lived just down the road in Taradale, everything sort of fell into place, and I enrolled in the Bachelor of Wine Science.
Uh-huh. So we're doing this early 2000s?
Yes.
And
yes.
Did you enjoy that?
Yes, I loved it.
It's a bit of a leap. You say you loved it. Why did you love it?
I love being a student again, I think.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think as a teacher, it's a very giving profession.
Yes.
You always feel like you're on the stage, and you're always giving everything that you possibly can to your students. As a student, you kind of feel like you're on the receiving end.
You're a sponge.
You're learning. You're a sponge. And I absolutely loved learning about the science of wine. It was far more complex than I had ever dreamt. Absolutely fascinating.
And do you recall who was head of school at that time?
The position was shared by Steve Wheeler, who's a viticulturist now in Hawke's Bay, and Sally van der Zijp. And Sally is now still with the wine industry, and she looks after sustainable wine growing New Zealand and is based in Marlborough.
Okay, so two excellent mentors for you, really.
They were.
Whilst you were studying, were you working in the wine industry as well, or was it just all-consuming the study that you were undertaking?
During study breaks and over the summer, no, I worked in the wine industry. In our third year of our wine science degree, we had to complete a whole vintage in a winery. So that was a period of 6 to 8 weeks, which I spent at Church Road.
What were you doing there?
I was just a cellar hand.
A cellar hand. So it was just a question of getting to know the kinds of wines that were available through Church Road.
It was being involved in making a wine, carrying out all the cellar tasks that were given to a whole group of cellar hands.
They let you loose.
Well, under a lot of guidance, of course.
Funny that, I suppose. And whilst you were there, I'm going to ask you this, probably really unreasonable, but I don't mind. Did you decide you had a pet wine from Church Road at that time? It's a very famous vineyard for you to go and work at, and they've got some very yummy wines, haven't they?
Yes. I don't recall, and this is going back a few years now.
Well, it was worth an ask. It was worth an ask. You could have just said all of them.
Well, all of them.
Yeah, very famous wine. So you've got 3 years. Did it take 3 years to do that degree, or was it shortened down because of your previous experience? What did you
I do? Took 3 years.
3 years?
I did get some credits from my previous degree, but I spread it over 3 years because I also enrolled in a postgraduate diploma in business, specialising in marketing through Massey as an extramural student at the same time. So,
okay. So we were doing all this side by side.
Yes, quite a lot of study.
It is a lot of study, isn't it? So at the end of that study, having done these two wings, which I would think proved to be absolutely fortuitous that you did both of those wings, what happened then?
I had undergone, I went into the degree thinking that an area of marketing or administration or combining those areas might be where I might go. By the time that I finished the degree, I thought that probably I didn't want to be a winemaker, and the degree actually has quite a lot of viticulture in it as well, and I'd become very interested in viticulture and very interested also in research, and my plan was to complete a master's degree through Lincoln University, because EIT didn't have a master's degree, and to try and find an opening in research somewhere. That didn't eventuate because the head of school position for viticulture and wine science became vacant, and I was persuaded by some of the staff there to apply, and that wasn't my plan at all. I really thought that I was moving away from education. In the end, they persuaded me. I did apply, and I was successful in gaining that position. I was a little sad that I didn't go on to do a master's degree, but I have absolutely really enjoyed working at EIT as the head of school.
Right. Let's pull it right back in now. Head of school, what does that actually mean? Is it like principal of a secondary school, only it's principal of a sector of EIT? How do we define this for listeners?
Yes, I think a comparison with a principal of a secondary school is a good comparison. Probably I have less autonomy than a principal of a secondary school would have.
That's because you fit under a structure at EIT.
Yeah. That's right.
So your bit.
That's right. So I have quite a lot of decision-making in terms of the academic programs that we offer, in the content of the courses and so on. I have quite a lot of autonomy in managing my budget, but there is always someone at a higher level in senior management that oversees those kinds of activities.
All right, let's look at the two wings, because there are two wings to your job. Are they not? Let's start with the veterinary nursing. What kinds of courses can our young people do if they decide to take on that course? And what sort of expectation do you have for the students at the end of their courses?
Firstly, I'd like to say that we have new qualifications in these areas. In the last 4 to 5 years, all of the tertiary qualifications in New Zealand, from level 1 to level 6, which is a diploma level, the old qualifications have gone and new qualifications have been developed. It's been a huge period of change. So my reply now to you about veterinary nursing is different, certainly, to what it would have been a year or two ago.
Okay, that's good to hear, isn't it, really? It just means it's continually being reviewed and the standards rising, is that right? Standards rising?
Yes, definitely, in the area of veterinary nursing.
Yeah.
So previously, there was a national certificate in veterinary nursing that was really approximately half a year of study, and that has been increased. There are now two qualifications, both full-year qualifications. One is at level 5, which is the equivalent of first-year university, and that is veterinary nursing assistant certificate. And then there's a level 6 diploma in veterinary nursing, which is also 1 year of study. So that area of veterinary nursing is certainly, the qualifications are much more extensive, and the veterinary nurses will be having, you know, quite significant qualifications and knowledge and skills.
And do they get jobs, though? I mean, it's one thing to do these kinds of courses, but if you can't gain employment at the end of it, it's a bit sad, really.
Yes, it's quite perhaps surprising, because the number of veterinary clinics in the Hawke's Bay region are relatively few, but there there is quite a high turnover of veterinary nurses, I think mainly because most of them are young women. Many of them travel overseas. There are very good jobs to be gained in veterinary nursing overseas. We've had quite a few of our graduates have gone to Australia and had amazing experiences there with all sorts of different kinds of animals and experiences that that they wouldn't have got in New Zealand. For example, having to deal with animals, pets, domestic pets that have snake bites, for example.
I'm glad we don't have to worry about those kinds of things here. It pleases me, Diane.
Yes.
The other wing to your role is that of viticulture and wine science. Now, can you just explain about the levels of study that come under those two headings as well, please?
Certainly. EIT offers programs from certificate at level 4 right through to graduate diploma. And in between, we have diploma and we have 2 degrees, the Bachelor of Wine Science and Bachelor of Viticulture. So it's quite a wide-ranging structure of qualifications that we offer.
Okay, there are, and quite a number of courses that slot into those as well. Can we just take each one, please, and get inside those a little bit more? Viticulture, what are our students learning, and how do we apply that learning?
Well, they're learning about grapevines, and they're learning how to manage grapevines to produce wine of the quality that is required by the wine company. In New Zealand, much of our focus is on producing the highest quality wine that we can. But then there are other levels of wine that wine companies produce that perhaps it doesn't have quite the quality, but they produce it to sell at a lower price point.
Yeah, what about some of the research that you're overseeing with your staff out there? What are they particularly getting inside of?
Well, this is exciting for me. In my time in the last 11 years as head of school at EIT, our research program has really expanded and has moved into some really interesting and exciting areas. And, of course, with my passion for viticulture
research.
How do
they keep you out of the lab, Diane? Do they put big padlocks on the door from the inside? Head of science, stay out.
I'd love to be much more involved in the research than I am. It's just a question of time. I don't really have the time. The projects we've been involved in under vine management, so that's managing the floor of the vineyard, and we've completed a study on looking at cultivation versus herbicide spraying versus leaving it completely alone, and that study has now been completed. The new research that we're doing, we've got some exciting results from looking at producing a lower alcohol wine, and we've started with Sauvignon Blanc, and we're now going to move that into other wine, white wine varieties as well. We've set up a sensory panel at EIT of, anybody really who wants to become involved with the panel. And the purpose of the panel is to quantitatively be able to assess the different aromas, in wine. And the panel needs to be trained. There's quite a lot of time that goes into the training of panel members. And some of those results that are coming out in terms of the aromas of the lower alcohol Sauvignon Blanc that we've been investigating, it really is quite exciting.
I think it's exciting too. I took part in a little experiment out there a few weeks ago and really enjoyed my time. Now let's do the same for the wine science. What sorts of things are they looking at, and how's the research going?
Research is going very well. The main project that is actually also coming to a close was looking at whether red wines, whether the quality of red wine is affected by the plunging regime during fermentation. And the results that came from that were quite contradictory to what one would have expected and contradictory to what most wineries practiced, and that is that not plunging the cap, which is the skins, during fermentation, actually produced higher quality wine than plunging the cap.
And
pushing the
colour.
Cap below into the wine actually produced higher, better colour that actually held the colour. The wine held the colour for a longer period of time.
I found than that when really interesting.
Wine. Very, very interesting, and it's completely contradictory to what common sense might tell you the result should be.
But a lot of that's tradition, isn't it? Winemaking is a very traditional craft.
That's true.
Yeah, so we get those traditions and like to stick with them, really. What about the future for your areas out there at EIT? Where are we going in the future? Does the future look rosy for you?
So for viticulture, wine science and veterinary nursing, yes, the future looks very rosy. The veterinary nursing, we have got these new programs and the number of students that we're enrolling in those programs has increased. We have a beautiful new facility.
You do, it's lovely.
And I can see those programs will just continue to go from strength to strength. Viticulture and wine science will continue with our strong research program. We are enrolling more and more international students, and we're just working now on a project with a university in China where we have been invited to go and teach there starting towards the end of next year. That's going to be quite a big project, and that was quite a prestigious thing to be invited by a university in China to do that, to help them establish their wine science degree.
Excellent. Sounds like all good stuff, and we need to get inside it a little bit more, so maybe a couple of interviews with your staff would be a very good idea. On behalf of the Hawke's Bay branch of the Royal Society of New Zealand and of Radio Kidnappers, thank you, Diane Marshall, for being my guest on Hawke's Bay Scientists on Air. To find out more about the variety of learning available at EIT, start with a Google search. There is a huge variety of courses available right here in the Bay. Or pop into EIT and have a chat. Staff will be very helpful and advice is freely given. Similarly, to find out more about the Royal Society in New Zealand or in the Bay, start by visiting our websites. Please join me again on Monday mornings at 9:30 to meet another practicing or recently retired Hawke's Bay scientist. I'm Lynn Trafford.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a volunteer-based community access station. For more information, go to www.radiokidnappers.org.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this program available through funding the Access Internet Radio Project.